Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Okay, we're back with another episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
And of course, we're here for the latest and greatest news of the week. Larry, how you feeling this week?
I'm feeling great.
Sexually confident?
I'm sexually confident. Nice. I'm as confident as Donald Trump at a rally. God.
That's pretty confident.
That is about as confident as it gets.
And it doesn't even speak to the size of his dick.
In fact, I'm thinking of changing the name of it to the Donald.
Your cock?
Yes.
Nice. The Donald Duck.
Quack, quack.
No?
Okay.
Okay. All right. You've found The Riot. This is your host, as we said, John and Larry. We're going to be here to give you the inside scoop on our thoughts of what's going on this week. But before we get to that, Larry, what time is it?
It is the Huggy Bear pimping, so...
Pimping!
There you go.
Nice.
Get that out there.
All right. So, as always, go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. All your rioting needs can be found there. Past shows, commentary, everything you can find out about the riot. Yes, folks, 117 episodes deep.
Oh, God.
117. And counting, Larry. Very good. Thank you, Phil. Phil back after a two-week absence. For some reason, he thinks he has a life outside the studio, outside the Distant Warrior Studios. But happy to have you back, Phil.
What's up, guys?
There you go. Phil, confident as ever. You know, ever since you got drunk that night, you really haven't said much. Your voice
much.
Even sounds different. Right.
There you go.
There it is. There you go. It's Phil.
He's still
Phil, ladies and gentlemen.
He's still Phil. Yes. I'm still disturbed by the dancing going on.
Yes, having like Puerto Rican ball sack bouncing off the back of his head apparently didn't agree with Phil for some reason.
Which, could that have something to do with being away for 2 weeks?
Who knew? D-Lo! Anyway, all right. Before we go much further bashing Phil, which may happen later in the show, let's say that if you want to follow us on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. That's for you older people, people not as digitally confident as Larry is sexually confident. You go to Facebook for all your needs there. Otherwise, fly with the Eagles, play with the big boys, any kind of terminology you want to use, go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. That's where you'll find me doing my typical harassing and trolling of anybody I don't really care about. My latest target, Larry, Hillary Clinton.
I was going to say, the Democrat frontrunner, not immune from the attacks of Big Fat John.
By the way, folks, if you want to be like Big Fat John, anytime Hillary's campaign issues a tweet, please respond to it any way you want. All I ask is that you add the very thoughtful and progressive hashtag lying cunt. Please include that in any responses to Hillary. I'm trying to get a movement started on Twitter. Thank you.
The only reason
I do this in service to our country, of
course. The
only
reason that might fail is because it's like Captain Obvious.
That's okay. Let's get lying cunt trending. Lying cunt trending. But, all right.
All right.
We've lightened up the set, Larry.
Yes, we have.
We used to have a helmet and Godzilla and everything.
Now we just have
Our heroes.
We have our
Beavis and Butthead.
Here, yeah.
Beavis and Butthead. There you go.
You know,
roller coaster.
Oh my God! You know who he looks like?
Who?
He looks like the Donald.
The Donald. Yeah. All right. Before we get to him, it's time to do the podcast pimp roll.
Oh my God!
Just roll the
roll
credits.
Scroll.
Roll it. Roll
wow.
it. iTunes, Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Player.fm, SoundCloud, anywhere great podcasts can be heard. You'll even find ours there as well. Just look for That Riot Show on any of those great platforms. I've taken care of the hard work for you. Just type in That Riot Show. We'll come up there, Larry.
Yeah, but go to Twitter for the real fun stuff.
Nice.
Okay.
And don't forget, hashtag lying cunt.
Let's see.
For her. For her.
Yikes.
Niceness. All right. Larry, let's continue now. As you mentioned, Donald Trump.
He is...
Much to the exasperation, dismay, and just...
Chagrin.
How is this fucking guy still in the race? And on top of that, how's he in first place? You know, I'm starting to believe all the nonsense that liberals have to say about Fox News viewers. I really do. I can't explain this in any other way, Larry.
Yeah, it is the most fucked up thing in the world. But you know what? We go back a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
At first, we both thought he was just pushing his brand.
Yeah.
And having a little fun with everybody. But then the very next week, I told you, I think he's doing this seriously this time. Because the previous times, he didn't even like file the papers and waste his time with that. This time, he's actually running and he's actually doing things. So now, in the past week, went to Iowa. Media and hillbillies out there surrounded him like crazy. He gave kids rides on his helicopter.
Ugh.
Then he went to New Hampshire. He had 10 times the audience of Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush had about 150.
Good, that part I'm happy
had
about.
Had about 150 people at his town hall.
Jeb Bush.
And Trump had about 2,500. Now, it turns out he's going to be speaking in Alabama.
Yeah.
And at their big college football stadium down there. I mean, they love college football down there. He was going to originally do it at an arena that holds about 10,000 people. And they came back to him and they said, it won't hold everybody, 50,000 people, or something in that neighborhood. The tickets are free. But they're coming to see the Donald this week. And look at Big Fat John, who is disgusted that Rand Paul can't get traction
while
Hulk Hogan here is running wild.
I have to tell you, I really don't know what's worse. Last week I said, I don't know what's worse. A cunt like Hillary as a Democratic nominee, or a fucking socialist like Bernie Sanders? I don't know what's worse. Now I have to expand that a little bit. We're looking at a lying cunt, a fucking socialist, and a complete idiotic asshole as our front runners between the two parties. If ever there was a time for a third party, this is it. It has to be. And the closest thing to a third party really is the Libertarian Party. It's the one that has the most traction among the, the third parties.
Yeah, Tea Party, Independents, they really don't have anything.
You really got to go Libertarian, folks. And if Rand Paul is not on the Republican ticket, probably he won't be.
I'm sure
he'll be on the Libertarian ticket. You got to go Rand Paul. Just make a statement. It doesn't matter which of those three ass clowns gets elected, really. At this point, whether it's Donald Trump, who, by the way, is an asshole, I make no bones about it. I don't care if he is a Republican. I'm not a Republican.
He's not a Republican. He's been a Democrat for
But even if he gets nominated, I'm not so party blind as to say, and I'm not even a registered Republican anymore. But Larry, disaster awaits.
Yeah.
We've got fucking Donald Trump. Right now, it seems like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or fucking Bernie Sanders.
Now, stipulating that, look, the general election is still over
away. It's
now,
over
the reason that matters is because here's the process. This kind of stuff goes on all the time. In other words, when they first start, you have to realize that people are just kind of feeling them out, they're seeing a debate, and then, at a certain point, they start to sober up and they realize, we need an adult, and they get serious about it. People get serious about it. That's kind of like what happened to Howard Dean. Like, he blew up and he was ridiculous, and they went with Kerry.
Okay.
He did the big scream. And you see that idiot from Iowa, Tom Harkin, clapping behind him like it was a great thing. But right now, the people are still in that feel-out stage, and they're entertaining some buffoonery.
Yes.
Now, like on Trump's part now, and he reiterated, he doubled down this week. He's building the wall. There's going to be a wall from San Diego all the way to California, all the way to Texas.
Built and paid for by Mexico.
Mexico is going to pay for it. Now his new thing, the Anchor Babies.
Yes.
Now,
see, that type of thing, Larry, Anchor Babies,
really,
I'm split on this issue.
Really?
Not because, no, I'm really not, but it's just the context.
I couldn't tell from the way you said
no,
it.
Like,
is it a 14th Amendment thing, or is it
The Anchor Baby thing, listen, I understand that the reason they're called Anchor Babies, so the whole thing is fucked up. So first of all, they're called Anchor Babies, for anyone who doesn't know, is because anyone who is a natural-born citizen, naturally born in the U.S., borders, within U.S. borders, is a citizen according to the Constitution. You're born on U.S. soil, you're a U.S. citizen. That's all there is to it.
Well, but the anchor baby thing is specifically for people who are here illegally.
Right.
But then maybe they have a kid.
Right.
And then that baby
becomes the anchor for the parents.
Right. And
that's
then they get the stay.
That's why they're called anchor babies.
Why Chuck Todd on MSNBC started pushing him because he said, we're going to deport all of them.
Right.
That's his position, Trump. Well, 11, 12, 13 men, whoever's numbers you believe, he's deporting all of them. And then they started, Todd and the liberals started hitting him with, you're going to break up families. And like,
well, I don't give a shit about the families. To me, more important is the Constitution. And those babies, like it or not, it's almost like a game, right? If you can beat the system long enough to squeeze out a baby, that baby is a citizen of the U.S. Now, you might have to come up with creative solutions, but I'm not like these fucking assholes who say you have to change the Constitution to account for this.
No.
That's bullshit. You want to have a tight immigration policy to keep out illegal aliens, to put them on some sort of fast track once they're here with a U.S.-born baby?
Right.
Like, come up with something. But the solution should not be change the Constitution.
Right.
You're born in the U.S., you're a U.S. citizen. And anybody who is a proponent of freedom, of liberty, and believes in the Constitution, you have to believe that.
Right.
Okay? Anchor baby or not, that kid is a U.S. citizen and deserving of all the birthrights of a U.S. citizen, which means the Bill of Rights, every other amendment to the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, all that applies to anybody born in this country and to anybody who becomes a naturalized citizen, all right? So anything else is bullshit. I don't care who said it. Chuck Todd, Donald Trump, whoever. I don't give a fuck. Yeah,
there are a few Republicans in Florida that the 14th Amendment should go.
That's bullshit.
That's
bullshit.
That's a terrible idea.
All right, fuck the Republicans if that's what your position is, okay?
Right.
Like, it was okay to have that amendment when you thought Obama was born in Kenya. You fucking assholes. chief among them, Donald Trump.
Yes, that's another thing I've noticed. I just want to throw in. I noticed he's not getting very much heat, but he was the original birther.
Right. Now listen, I'm no Obama fan, but I'd like to think that we have a process in place that somewhere in the 2 years leading up to his initial election, someone would have checked if he was a U.S. citizen or not.
Yeah, checked his birth certificate. When he actually, you know what the funny thing about this is? It does go to show that Trump knows how to drive an issue.
Sure.
And he can make something out of
nothing.
Because the birther thing was a joke. It was considered for kooks and right-wing and racist and Tea Party assholes.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he jumped in on it. And he pushed it, and he pushed it, and he pushed it. And then, if you remember, there was like a press conference.
Absolutely.
Where Obama shows up, and he goes, see, Hawaii. Like that. Like, he had to prove it. But the only reason he did it is because this idiot pushed it to the point where he couldn't ignore it anymore.
And to be honest with you, Obama could have squashed it early on by just presenting the evidence early on.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to do that because it makes it look like you're being pushed around by Donald Trump.
Right, but he could have done it during the campaign.
Oh,
and it would have been done with. But anyway, besides that. So Trump obviously is one of those guys where the Constitution is just a convenient tool for him to get his way, right?
Yeah.
So fuck anybody who says changing the Constitution to get rid of anchor babies. Now, having said all that, all you fucking liberals that have spent the last week crying up that Republicans are now slurring undocumented workers.
Right.
Translation, that you think Republicans are slurring illegal aliens who squeeze out kids on our soil.
Right.
Anchor baby is not a slur, you fucking assholes. Don't get your panties in a fucking bunch. Change your tampons already, okay?
Yeah, Hillary had a tweet about it.
Oh, by the way, when addressing Hillary about this issue, please don't forget. Lying cunt. Hashtag lying cunt.
They asked her about it, and she went right to Twitter, and she put, how about just calling them babies?
Yeah. How about their fucking anchor babies?
Oh, please.
Period. Anchor is not a slur. It's a description. It's a baby it's someone who was born here in order to keep their parents in the country.
Right.
They're fucking illegal alien parents in the country.
Right.
All right? So please, we've said it before, stop fucking around with the language. It is what it is. Anchor baby is a non-slur. It's a short, succinct term to describe a very complicated situation. What do you want them to say? Illegal alien offspring otherwise used to try to get legal status for their parents? That's too fucking long to put in one sentence, you fucking liberal assholes. All right? That's all it is. That's all it comes down to. It is not a slur. Just get over it already. Media matters, you fucking cocksuckers. Go talk to Soros already. Like, here's a slur. George Soros is a Hungarian billionaire cocksucker. Allegedly.
Allegedly. There we go.
See, that might be considered a slur. Saying anchor baby is not a slur.
But it goes to show you the state of things. Like, Trump went out and said it.
Yes.
And he gets criticized. And then Hillary has to jump right on it to try and score some points. Plus, she's dying to do anything to, other than talk about her email situation, which now the FBI is
which is getting worse by the minute.
Yeah, it's getting worse by the minute. You know how bad it's getting?
By the way, this was her reaction to being asked about the fucking emails. This was it. Yeah. All of a sudden, the woman who thinks she's smarter than everybody else in the nation doesn't know where the fuck these emails came from.
Right.
She also, as Secretary of State, is claiming that if something's not labeled classified, she can't tell if it has classified information. You know, like troop movements and placements and shit like that. She can't figure it out. So, you know what this is going to come out to be, actually,
yeah,
Larry?
They're going to find the server. They're going to get some emails that are very damning.
They already found a couple.
And this is going to be, no, but this is the same strategy. This is the same thing they did in Arkansas.
Yep.
When she and her husband got in trouble in Arkansas, something like 25 people in their administration all went to prison.
Right.
Like Susan McDonald, all those people, whatever. And everybody got in trouble but them.
Right.
And this is going to be the same situation. The FBI definitely is going to find something. And then they're going to question it. And she's going to say, oh, I farmed it out to these subordinates and these people who worked for me. And then they're going to wind up taking the hit. Oh, well, we sent it to somewhere in Colorado and they deleted
so,
it.
So if you want to play a nice drinking game or betting game at home, here's the real question.
Yes.
Does Huma Abedin, also known as the box muncher in chief, allegedly, does she fall on the sword for her boss?
The wiener sword.
The wiener sword.
She might. She might.
Because right? that would be, the most powerful person that could take a fall for her at this point.
Yeah, but
you know, like, I took off the classified labels
right,
or some
but
shit
But there's
like
a
that.
Lot of people on the team who aren't, like, household names that they could possibly put.
No, but I mean, that's what I think. I don't think it, I think the concept
you think it'll be,
of being, like, some IT nerd taking the fall for this is bullshit. You know, like, nobody's going to believe that somebody that got hired for $20 an hour is declassifying material and putting it on Hillary's server.
All right.
I don't think anyone's going to buy that.
You know what the problem's going to be for her, though, is her numbers are just slowly dropping.
Oh, she's below Sanders.
Right, she's below Sanders now in New Hampshire.
And she's below...
He's beating her 47% to 39%.
And she's below Biden, I think, in Ohio.
Yes, that's another thing. But also, the problem she's going to have is the way she's handling it. Like, you watch shows like Morning Joe, which is Joe Scarborough, a moderate Republican, and all these liberals, and I'm watching them the past couple of days, Woodward there, up on the Post, and all these people, and none of them believe her. None of them believe. They all think that this is a big problem, and these are people who are, you know, inclined, Mika Brzezinski, they're all inclined to like her and to defend her.
And who want to see a female president.
Yeah, they would like to see that, and they think she's just, Mika Brzezinski described her as unauthentic, and like disingenuous, and the rest of them like, this is a very big deal, and you know, making jokes about it, like those emails disappear by themselves. She said she opened the Snapchat, whatever the fuck that is. She's not handling it well, and the people who are inclined to like, I'm not talking about like the Fox people who despise her.
Right.
I'm talking about bread and butter people who like her. Eugene Robinson, the black guy from the Washington Post, writer. They all are saying that this is a very serious thing, and they really don't like the way she's handling it.
I think nobody now, see, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I think people who were hardcore Hillary fans were willing to say they're ganging up on her. Because I don't know if you know Hillary's history. She's always claimed she's the victim of a vast right-wing conspiracy. That was always her, even when she was first lady, a vast right-wing conspiracy against her and her husband.
Yeah, that was the Lewinsky.
That was the Lewinsky thing. That was the whole Tyson Foods, everything, right? What's happening now is, especially in the last week, nobody buys that she's telling the truth.
Right.
Nobody buys that she's telling the truth. The only thing that her supporters have now to hinge on is that it wasn't a big deal. That's it.
Yes.
So you could, they don't believe her when she says she didn't know about it. What they're trying to swing this as now is, well, she may have known about it, but it really doesn't amount to anything. This is bullshit. There's more important things to worry about. This is the equivalent of her husband jizzing on an intern's shoulder or something, okay?
Right.
That's how they're trying to frame it, that in the grand scheme of things, we still need Hillary, and we can look past her minor indiscretions of classified email and shit like that.
But see, but that's the problem also with if Huma or somebody takes the fall for her, because I think that's going to look so obvious and so fake. I think that will actually hurt her more than anything. And you know, I don't know if it hurts her.
I think it's the only. I think that hurts her even more
when people already don't trust her.
Well, I think it saves her.
Because it's such
her,
an obvious thing.
No, I think it saves her base. You know, like Bush had his Scooter Libby. You know what I mean? Like Bush and Cheney had Scooter Libby to fall back on and things like that. Like over here, you have Huma, and Huma is trusted enough where she could claim she did it on her own, without.
I know, but I understand that, but I think that looks just so phony.
Well, nothing looks realistic now at this point.
But that's what I mean. If she does that, I think that hurts her even more, because this falls under the other thing is this falls under the thing that the cover up is always worse than the crime.
Well, that's already passed.
That's what I mean. She should, you know, this is the same mistake her husband made about the cheating on his wife. You know, even though you take the short term hit, you're just better off coming out and just immediately saying, look, I did this, I fucked up, it was a stupid thing to do, blah, 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 and I'm sorry.
But this
and
just
if you do that, it gets squashed.
But this just goes to show you that this is, in fact, just the Clintons.
Yeah, being the Clintons.
Inability to just tell the truth.
Yeah.
Any of them. It's just that Bill was much better at it.
Yeah.
Meaning lying.
Yeah, she doesn't have any of his slickness, any of his political skills, like he did, you know, I feel your pain and all that. She doesn't have any of that. In fact, she's like a fucking robot.
Nothing at all.
She's like, she's like that robot from Lost in Space. I mean,
right.
And whenever you listen to her speak, and the Republicans are going after.
Let me tell you my vision of this country. It requires that robot.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's all it is with her. No genuine emotion to anybody. Anybody who thinks she relates to the little person, to the common woman, to anything like that, you're sadly deluded. If you like her, at least tell me you like her because she's a conniving cunt.
Allegedly.
Right. All right, or that you think she's the right person for the job based on her experience. Tell me something other than she represents the little person.
But even the people in the Democrat base, a lot of them clearly know that she's just like, she's got a lot of corporate money, a lot of Wall Street money, which they despise, which explains also why Bernie Sanders is doing so well. Because they consider him, you know, he's a socialist, they consider him to be authentic. There's no sense that he's corrupt, he's doing anything stupid, he's saying what he believes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like living his gimmick, as you always
say.
Yeah,
I don't think Bernie Sanders is corrupt, at least I haven't heard of anything
I don't
to
think
that
so
thing.
Either.
He's just an idiot.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being an idiot and being corrupt.
And did you see,
being a corrupt idiot like fucking Trump.
I don't know if we talked about this last week, but did you see that Chris Matthews on MSNBC, he had Debbie Wasserman Schultz on.
I hate that bitch.
From the DNC.
Yeah.
And he had her on for the interview, and this is Matthews, for God's sakes. He worked for Jimmy Carter. He's as liberal and left-wing as can be. And he said this to her. He goes, can you explain to me the difference between a Democrat and a socialist?
Yeah.
And she went like this. She goes, Chris, this election is going to be what distinguishes like Democrats and Republicans, which is the stupidest answer. Every election is what distinguishes Democrats from Republicans. And then some other reporter on MSNBC asked her on another interview, and she gave the same answer. She didn't answer it. And then Chris Matthews, very early in the morning, was on with the Morning Joe people. He goes, there was a time when I could have told you the difference. I can't tell you anymore. This Chris Matthews is putting that out.
Yeah, and that's been going on for a while now. And Wasserman Schultz never answers any questions. Never, ever. Even during the election, there were these times when she was pressed for answers by friendly reporters, not by adversarial reporters, and she just refuses to answer.
And she's nutty. She's the one from the 2012 that said that thing about Mitt Romney.
Yeah, she's
to do something to women.
Yeah, she's
pulling them by the hair and beating them. Like
she's
crazy.
She's just nuts. She's like a hardcore leftist, and
yeah.
She's like truly the wrong person to be in charge of the DNC. To be honest with you, I don't understand why she's in charge.
You know, the funny thing is, I think they think that she's terrific.
I don't know. There's a lot more mainstream Democrats that probably don't like her.
Oh, really?
But anyway, yeah. Because look, what it comes down to is, you could be a Democrat, you could be for social programs, but a lot of Democrats still don't want to be classified as socialists.
No.
Or some of them don't even want to be classified as liberals. They just want to be known as like blue collar Democrats, and they want to be known as
But even the guys like who are very liberal, like Juan Williams.
He
works at Fox, and even he goes, look, he goes. They were talking, he goes, the Democrat Party is still a party that's a capitalistic party. He goes, they believe in the capitalist system very much. He goes, they just believe, like, in regulation. He went through, like, a list. And he goes, we're not socialists. He goes, and he was surprised by the success of Bernie Sanders. But, like, tying into, like, our original story, what annoys me about Trump the most is, he really is a Democrat. He always has been. And earlier this week in a phone interview, he goes, look, I'm from Queens. I grew up in Manhattan. Everybody in Manhattan's a Democrat. He's right around those people. And if you go back in his history, he supported the single-payer healthcare system. He supported other things against, like, the invading, like, Grenada and, like, right. that Ronald Reagan bit. And, like, a lot of things. I mean, he has been solidly in their camp on many. In fact, in one interview, he said that he feels that the economy tends to do better on the Democrats. Now, all of a sudden, he's running on the Republican side. But I really get the feeling, I mean, why is he a Republican? I get the feeling he's running because he thinks it's a more of a gettable spot.
Well, that's
the other side's got Hillary,
businessmen typically tend to be Republicans or perceived as Republicans. Look at Bloomberg, Bloomberg in New York. Fucking guy was a Boston Democrat, and he comes to New York. The only reason he registered as a Republican was to win.
Yeah, he knew that was easier to get.
He knew it was easier to get.
They only had Herman Badillo running.
And he knew that, if he at least paired up with Giuliani's policing strategies, that he would win. And that's exactly what
happened. That's exactly what he did.
All right? So you have to distinguish what people call themselves and what they are, okay? Trump can call himself a Republican. He's not a Republican. Most of the Republicans, like Jeb Bush, I don't consider Jeb Bush a Republican. Jeb Bush is a Democrat. He's a conservative Democrat at best, okay? There's a lot of Republicans who have adopted the large government nanny system, the statism of the left. It's just that it's slightly better than the Democrats.
Right.
That's
and
it.
Guys like him and Christie, they can...
Christie's another one.
Yeah, he's another one, but they're guys who, you know, their idea of conservatism is that they're actually pretty good with the books. You know, they got their states out of debt, and they had some
supposedly,
balanced
I'm hearing stuff about Jersey now that it
yeah, but they
have
balanced budgets. No, they may not be in great shape, but he balanced budgets, and he didn't go crazy with the taxes like Corzine did, and they're conservative in that regard. But if you look at other things that Bush got, you know, he got in trouble because he said he liked Common Core, and like that conservatives despise, and like things like that. He doesn't have the track record of guys like. Who's the guy from Wisconsin?
Scott
Walker. And, I mean, you know, he was very tough on the unions there. And
The Republicans, again, I'll say this, except for Rand Paul, every Republican running, including Fiorina, including Christie, Jeb Bush, Trump, Huckabee, they all have something that I glaringly have a problem with. I have to tell you, except for Rand Paul. Fucking Huckabee, Santorum, all these guys. Fucking born-agains. I don't want that in the Oval Office.
Yeah,
fuck
they're the
like I said, I would vote for Huckabee if he was more secular. Everything else that comes out of his mouth I could kind of deal with, and he was a governor, and, you know, he's an executive position. I appreciate that. But when I start hearing things about Jesus and God and all this, I don't need that in the office. Keep that, you know, preach that to me on Sundays, or be like those asshole Jehovah's Witnesses who wake me up Sunday at 8 o'clock to give me the word.
Because he went.
Of course, I just give him the finger when they do that.
Because he went the extra mile of also becoming a pastor.
Yeah, fuck
I
that.
I mean, it's not just that. Like Santorum, who's really doctrinaire Roman Catholic.
I don't need any of that shit in the Oval Office. I'm not even shitting on religion per se. I just don't want it in the Oval Office. All right.
Yeah.
Period. Then you've got someone like Christie, Jeb Bush. These are Democrats. They're like Romney. They're just successful Democrats. Democrats are businessmen who failed at everything. Republicans of that stripe are just businessmen who are successful. Romney, Jeb Bush, Christie to some extent, Fiorina. These are like very moderate Republicans. If they were running as Democrats, you'd call them conservative Democrats and nobody would bat an eyelash. Okay? They're in the McCain camp and those guys all suck a dick.
I'm going to disagree with John on Fiorina.
That's my opinion.
On Fiorina, because I've been watching all her interviews, and she's pretty conservative.
Yeah, I don't like her. She's still she's got a streak of hallelujah. She still has this overbearing.
I can't find any interviews with that.
I hate that overbearing thing. We must do this for the children. Fuck the children already. Let's just worry about people taking care of themselves. I don't need you worrying about my children. Seriously. I'll take care of my own children. You know what you could do for me? Stop taking half my paycheck every week. That's what you could do for me. And I'd be a lot better off with my kids. Yeah. Stop telling me what my kids should watch on TV, Republicans. Go fuck yourselves. I'll decide. It's got an on switch. It's got an off switch. I've also got a remote control that lets me change the channels. I don't need any of you cocksuckers telling me what to watch and what to listen to.
Yeah, not working January, February, March, and April.
Yeah.
I'm watching all the, going straight to the government.
That would really help too. Yeah. So you see, Republicans, now you know why so many are leaving the Republican Party and joining Libertarians or joining the Tea Party. Because why? We can't stand that you're becoming Democrats. It's just that the Democrats have moved further to the left as well. It's like you feel the need to fill that gap from the center to the left that the Democrats have created.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, they're both in the telling you what to do business.
Both of them.
If you look at from like abortion to gay rights to guns to language, especially language.
The control of language
is the most annoying thing in the world with the politically correct. It is so
like
fucking
the Anchor
annoying.
Baby thing. Yeah. Why the fuck do you care? It's Anchor Baby. It's not a slur. Why are you telling us? Why is, what was the other words, that like relating to women usually? Fat shaming, tampon shaming. What the fuck is tampon shaming? I saw that 2 weeks
ago. What is trigger warning?
Trigger warnings! What the fuck? Trigger warnings? I got into it with an overweight feminist last week about that. Trigger warnings? These are...
It's like a tampon warning. Come now.
That's like the free bleeding movement. Have you heard about that?
The what?
The free bleeding movement.
I thought you said the flat earth society.
This was a joke, I think, by The Onion or something, saying that women have to stand up for free bleeding, which means when they're on their period, don't be ashamed, don't use a tampon, just free bleed, right? Yes. Some fucking weird bitch to symbolize like what was going on in some backwards-ass third world country like India ran a marathon on her period without her tampon. What happened was, at the end of the race, she just started posing like this, like...
Do we have any photos?
I'll see if we can get one up. Phil, can you find it?
Come on.
There you go. All you see is her with her running shorts, fucking, like, bleeding out of her snatch, all the way down her legs. Boy, you know that must have smelled nice at the finish line.
Did she leave a nice long trail behind her?
Yeah. All the raccoons were tracing after her.
Stop it.
Free bleeding. That's what we've come to. Free bleeding.
Trigger warnings
in the fucking classroom. How are teachers supposed to teach? Every third word has got to be a trigger warning. Oh, watch out. We can't read Huck Finn. The N-word is in here. But let's change that. Let's change,
I told you what the Swedish are pushing.
Oh, Z.
And it's taking over in Europe now. They don't want to say he and she because they think that it's gender bias and it works against women.
Yeah.
So they're using XE, which they're pronouncing as Z for both little girls and little boys.
Can't get over this.
This is insane.
Yeah.
And you're hot and blonde. Don't be stupid.
Yeah. Stop that.
I've been there twice.
Stop that.
This is terrible.
Stop that.
Such a beautiful
thing. And here's another thing for you. Stop trying to make everybody the same. Believe it or not, liberals... That's the opposite of individuality that you used to love, right? All of us becoming the same androgynous piece of meat is not the natural end of the evolutionary scale for us, okay? We're all different. Let's embrace that. You can't say, let's all support diversity, and then in the next sentence say, but we all have to be the same.
Well, remember when they briefly, like 10 years ago, whatever it was, all the people in Hollywood... They actually made, like, I think, like a PSA about it. They thought it would be a good idea if everybody just started fucking everybody else. And then at some point, we all just, like, 100 years down the line, we all wind up like one color.
Yeah.
And that was like, their brilliant solution for fighting racism.
You know how you fight racism? Milton Friedman said it. Free trade. That's how you fight racism, you assholes. If I need you to provide me a service, I don't care what color you are. Just give it to me at a fair price. That's it. You're my best friend at that point. I don't give a fuck if you're Turkish, Irish, Chinese, Japanese, anybody. I don't give a fuck.
But he cares if you are Turkish.
Actually, I don't.
No, really?
No, fucking come here, paint my house at half price. You're my best friend in the world. I don't give a shit. That's what free enterprise does to people.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's right. The language nonsense is now strictly owned by the left. Right. That's it. It used to be those right-wing religious assholes that used to try to own language.
Trying to ban rock lyrics in the
80s. Yeah, and shit like that. Who, by the way, despite the fact that that was a right-wing associated thing, The founder of the, what was it, the PRMC, Parents Gore? Resource Music Center, was Tipper Gore.
Tipper Gore, yeah.
The wife of, at the then wife of Al Gore, the Democratic VP under Clinton, all right? Yeah. So the left has really been insidious in this regard for the last 25, 30 years, where, of course, we know the college campuses are still run by the left. So the end result is you have an entire generation of kids who allegedly are well-educated, who can't think beyond the boundaries set for them by their professors.
Well, the New York Times had a piece like a week or two ago, whatever it was. They were talking about like all the college professors, yeah, saying that they're afraid of their students now,
yeah,
because they've become so intolerant that they don't want to hear anybody else's point of view. And that they're like, you know, and obviously they're like all very funny.
And I see it in the bullying. Yeah, I see it in the kids that I interview every week. You know, it's the same thing. And so who really is at fault here? It's the left, okay? So when you look at Republicans have filled the void of nonsense that Democrats had 25 years ago, which is the government helping hand, the cradle to grave taken care of, single payer healthcare system and bullshit like that.
Yeah.
Those were typically Democratic ideals. The reason Republicans have taken that over is because now Democrats have shifted to the left. And now they're for the socialist, the free education. Yeah. That's the latest of the memes I hear. Bernie Sanders can't figure out why college isn't free for everyone.
Well, no, actually what he said was he can't understand why car loans...
Yeah, we covered that last week.
Yeah, ...are so cheap, but student loans are very expensive without going into...
The President of the United States has to understand actuarial tables. Somehow, they come up. Even if you have to bomb Russia, there's an actuarial table that tells you when to press the fucking button. If you can't understand actuarial tables, Bernie Sanders, and hiring Paul Krugman doesn't count because he doesn't either, read a fucking actuarial table as to why student loans should have a higher interest rate than car loans, you dumb fuck.
But you know what really underlines your point is how well he's doing. Like, you know, like 20 years, a socialist would go nowhere.
Well, there's a lot. Nowhere. Well, that just goes to show you that it's the same thing that happened in Sweden, in Greece, in Italy, in Portugal, right? There's a generation of Democrats who introduced what they thought were slight socialist proposals for the good of society. You know, like, maybe we'll introduce free education, college education. Maybe we'll introduce single-payer health care, maybe Obamacare, right? Eventually, what happens is the generation that implements that shit still has a semblance of work in their brain. The generation they spawn has no understanding of any work. So what happens is, a generation or two into this, the people who now vote have no incentive to go into hardship. That's what happened in Greece. In Greece, they just lost their communist government. They called for new elections. Why? Because even the fucking communists said people have to go to work. No. And have some free enterprise. The fucking asshole that got elected on the platform of fuck the euro, fuck enterprise, everything is government owned. That asshole, Tsipras or whatever the fuck his name is, he had to call and said, okay, look, I can't govern anymore. Right? He just said, new elections, let's just try to have a new government.
I don't know if it was his party or one other party, but they had another party now in Greece that split off.
New Democracy.
There's some party, I couldn't remember the name there, but there's some party now that they're just the anti-bailout party.
Because now there's an entire generation of Greeks, and this is important because we're like 20 years away from this, by the way, in this country. There's a whole generation of Greeks that don't know what it's like to work, that don't know what it's like to say, I will not have a guaranteed pension at 55. There's nobody that understands that anymore. So when elections come and you say, listen, the solution to our economic problems is cut back on government service, cut back on spending.
Right.
Get back to work, you assholes. Okay, let's vote on it. Do you think someone who's been raised with entitlement is going to say, I vote for hardship? No.
No way. They're gonna. Not only are they not gonna vote for it, they're gonna look at you like, "What? Well, you're a mean fucking asshole.
You're an asshole.
You're a fascist. You're crazy. You're ruining my life.
Let's vote for the guy that tells me the government's gonna take care of me even more."
Yeah, because if you listen to Bernie Sanders' speeches, it's a lot of just free shit. Now, of course, what he thinks is free shit. I mean, nothing's free.
Nothing's free.
But the crowd thinks so.
Yeah,
he's got kids with signs that say, "I'm a student, not a customer."
Yep.
And like all these, like all things that are like anti-business or anti.
And honestly, that's the problem. How can you now take those people and convince them to go to work? How can you take those people and make them understand that to get out of a death, an economic death spiral, you need 3 years of hardship? I mean, fucking hardship. 20% inflation.
They're not going to do that.
15% unemployment.
They're not going to do that.
Devaluation of the currency. All that shit has to happen before you get put on the right path. Chile had to go through it. Japan had to go through it. Guess what? At the end of the, we did it in the early 80s when Reagan took over. Right? Remember?
Yeah.
Reagan's first 2-3 years in office were fucking horrible. They were talking about impeaching him. They were talking about all sorts of horrible shit.
The first 2 years were awful. And of course, yeah, the difference was, if you remember when Obama, I always love this, when Obama, the first couple of years, things were still...
George Bush.
No, yeah, it's George Bush. You notice you can't find, like, any footage of Ronald Reagan talking about Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, it's not...
He didn't mention his fucking name once. And exactly. I actually looked at this one time.
Yeah.
He was just like, well, it'll eventually get better.
Yeah. And God bless Reagan for one thing. He stuck to his guns.
Yeah.
He knew what it would take. He had smart people around him, like Milton Friedman, and guys like that telling him, listen, you're going to suffer for 2-3 years. Get it done as soon as you can, so you'll be president when this recovery hits. And guess what? In 1983, it did.
Yeah.
And he was able to reap the benefits of that.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what countries stuck in. That's what this country needs. Listen, this country is at the precipice right now, but we can still save ourselves with very little hardship, honestly. All we have to do is limit spending to the rate of inflation.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
3%.
The model is Germany. I tell everybody, the model is Germany. People who live within their means, you know, they obsess on inflation and like unemployment, and you know, the people there, you know, they're financially, they're incredibly reasonable. Here, like, my cousin loves to tell me this story. He works at the CIBC, and he deals with the Germans all the time. And, like, I'm not kidding. He tells this story. He goes, at the end of every month when we have to settle up accounts.
Scheitzelborn?
This guy sends him a picture of a Streisand movie. No, I don't know. he sends him this little thing like, there's 7 cents missing out of this account. Like something like that. And my cousin goes, it's 7 cents. Keep it. And he sends it back. No, we have to figure out like where this 7 cents goes. It's either it's yours or it's us. Yeah. And then somebody gets interest and it makes 8 cents.
Yeah, yep,
like,
yep.
And he goes through this like every month. He goes, they're just hilarious. And until they get it to zero, they're going to go crazy.
But you know, but he's right. Japan,
yeah.
Chile.
Germany.
Hong Kong, to a certain extent, they all implemented these free enterprise models, and for the most part, all prospered. They fuck up, of course, is when they get prosperous, then they go back to their socialist ways.
Yeah, they start spending money like imbeciles. Yeah.
Like, Bernie Sanders, tax the rich at 100%, you fucking asshole. How much of a dent do you think that'll make into the debt?
Really?
Yeah, actually, how much?
It's one of the things that stupid Trump says. That's absolutely true. He goes, if you raise their taxes...
To 100%.
He says this. He goes, these are very international people. Goes, they've got homes in St. Barts and Switzerland. He goes, if you do that, he goes, they're just going to leave the fucking country. He goes, I know them. Yeah. He goes, they'll just leave and you won't get a penny from them, which I assume is true.
And even if you raise it to 100% and some idiots paid you, what do you think is going to happen?
What do
you
do with that?
It's like Daffy Duck. You can only pull that trick off once.
Yeah.
Right? Because once you've soaked them for 100%, what are you going to do? It's less than 1% of the debt. If you taxed every super wealthy person at 100%.
Yeah, it's a
okay?
pittance.
It's a pittance.
Yeah.
Where you have to control it the most is the spending side.
Yeah.
Turn off that fucking spigot. We're a prosperous country. Our economic output will sustain us and more if we just keep spending to reasonable. You want to have Medicare? Fine. That means you can't have fucking Pell grants for everyone.
Yeah.
If you want to have a strong defense, that means you can't have studies on the mating habits of emus. Okay.
Or cowboy poetry that Harry Reid keeps complaining doesn't get enough funding.
Or repetitive legislation like equal rights, equal pay. Plus, what's her name? Lilly Ledbetter laws. These are 5 laws that all do the same thing. Each one with its own budget and spending. Fuck that shit. Get rid of half the cabinets in the government. Get rid of the Department of Education, Department of Energy, Department of the Interior, Department of the Exterior. Get rid of all that shit. Department of Transportation,
Department
of Labor.
You want to spend the money on that? Send it to the states.
Yeah, that shit is a waste of money. None of those cabinet posts accomplish a goddamn thing other than causing trouble in this economy. Get rid of all of it. The government should be 5 branches. Justice, defense. State, defense, Homeland Security, maybe, at this point. That's it. You don't need anything else. Everything else is done on the state level. Leave it at that. Department of Education, what a bunch of horse shit. What has the Department of Education done for anybody? It is just an impediment to the money that should be going to the states.
You know, the thing is, even Obama admitted in one interview, goes that the bureaucracies of them, that they're like so big and sloppy. He goes, it's very difficult to get anything done.
And yet he does is implement more and more regulations, more and more bureaucracy. This is, I'd love to blame the Democrats on this only, but you know what? Like I said before, Republicans are in on it.
They become like Democrats.
Because they get a cut. Yeah. But, okay. Listen, enough ranting. Larry.
Yes.
We want to take a quick break because we have a very special, I know you have to leave.
I have to go.
And we're having a special guest come in the middle of this, at the end of our show.
Okay.
And he's going to take over, very important interview. So we're taking a 5-second break. We're going to cut to this and then we'll be right back. Phil, hit it.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, we're back. As promised, we have a very special guest. Right now, I'm proud to introduce the president of North Korea, Sir Kim Jong-un. Yes. I'm going to pose 5 questions as mandated by the Propaganda Ministry of North Korea right now to President Un. So the first question, President Un, there are people who condemn you for a lack of freedom among your citizens. How do you respond to that? I see. Okay, I'll take that to mean from my limited understanding of North Korean that you don't feel they have the right to any individuality and freedom? Okay, fair enough. Second question. There are reports that your country is devastated by hunger and poverty, yet you seem to live the life of luxury, even being reportedly seen in South Korean casinos. Is this true? I see. Okay, just for emphasis. Okay, I think, wait, what's that? I don't know. We were just talking about poverty and hunger, and you have food on demand. You seem to have trouble using the chopsticks. All right. Okay. All right. I guess we have 3 more questions to go. Third question, President Un, concerning your violent streak in your country, is it true that you once executed a member of your cabinet by lining him up in front of an anti-aircraft missile?
I see.
Okay, I guess that answers that. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I guess question number 4 that I have for you is there are a lot of people who are interested, if I can be so bold, in your sex life. What is it like to be the consort of the president of North Korea, if you don't mind telling us?
I don't swing that way, sorry.
Okay. Okay. Oh, sounds good. All right, and the final wrap-up question. If you could be any animal that you could be, what animal would you be? Really? I never would have thought that. Alright, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to push. Okay. And there you have it. The exclusive interview with President Un of North Korea. Until next week, for Judo Larry M, who has mysteriously disappeared from the studio, this is Big Fat John. Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.